one of the things that he does is he brings promises to me and you. In the Old Testament, they used to make promises with one another. It's a representation of a covenant. Yeah, in Numbers 18 and verse 19. And it said, all the heave offerings of the holy things which the children of Israel offer to the Lord, I have given to you and your sons and daughters with you as an ordinance forever. It is a covenant of salt forever before the Lord with you and your descendants with you. And they used to have a covenant of salt as a representation of a promise. And they used to have these little salt bags that they would carry with them, and everybody had this salt. What they would do is when you made a covenant with someone, they would take a little bit of the salt that they had and put it in your bag, and they'd pay, and vice versa. And they would take, you know, the salt that they had and put it in your bag, and you take the salt that you have and put it in there, because salt mixes, and it's hard to, you know, well, whose salt is who? Because it becomes one.
Amen.
Amen. And that was a representation of a promise or a covenant that they would do. Now, you know, when we were growing up, we would make a covenant with someone. You know, did you ever hear the word, the phrase, blood brothers and stuff like that? You know, we'd prick our fingers and cry and touch one another's finger, and, you know, when we were real young. And, you know, and we'd mix blood and we'd get each other sick, you know. But and we would call that blood brothers. You know, so there was a cutting, and it was a representation of covenant, and the word covenant is a representation of cutting, and it was cutting to join together. It's a representation of betweenness, and I want to share some covenants that God has made and promised to us, and we know that there's a lot of promises in the Word of God, but there are specific covenants from the beginning of time that God has given us, and there's about 8 basic ones I want to just share quickly, just to bring us up to date of what's going on. Amen? Hallelujah. So a covenant is a promise of a guarantee between two people, basically. I mean, you can't, two pieces of material can't make a covenant with one another. It has to be between two human beings, right? So, in between these two individuals in a covenant, it could be a covenant of promise of a thing that's guaranteed. In other words, when you go rent a home or rent an apartment, you come in covenant with someone that's the landowner, and you become the renter. Well, the covenant is that as long as you pay the rent, you can stay there. Right? But once you break covenant, you get thrown out. And there's a covenant with God in all of these covenants. And if we break covenants with God, His promises to me and you are null and no good. They don't come forth. But He's always trying to bring them for us, isn't He? So there is, you know, Paul said that there is sin unto death and sin not unto death. And sin that is unto death is called broken covenant. And the word death represents separation from God. Now, man makes promises he can't keep, right? But a divine covenant, no one can change or alter. Nobody can change a divine covenant nor alter it. Covenants don't end. These divine covenants of God, you know, people think, well, their covenant's over, it's no longer existence. That's not correct. These covenants are everlasting covenants. Covenants don't end, they overlap and complement the existing one. Because they're everlasting. The promises of the covenant continue. But some of the rituals end. Does everybody understand that? The promises of the covenant continue, but some of the rituals will end. God always puts signs in covenants also as a memory of what His covenant is. There are certain signs. And like I said, God made about 8, and there's 8 major covenants with man. And they relate to the earth in what we would call dispensations or time periods. These covenants are sealed or originated by a spoken word and blood. divine covenants are a representation of life promises. Of course, again, a broken covenant means death, or death to the promises. In other words, if you break covenant with God, you don't, the promises are not available to you. Amen? So a covenant is, God is a God, God, a covenant of God. He is one who brings promises. When he spoke, it's done. What he says, we either believe it all, or we usually end up breaking covenant. Walking in covenant is walking in divine position also. If you're walking in a divine covenant, you're walking in a divine position, and we must be covenant-keeping children. It is important that we be covenant-keeping children. And it's not by law, it's by relationship. Amen? Now, the first covenant I want to talk about, it may sound a little strange, but the first covenant that was given was in the Garden of Eden. It was given in the Garden of Eden. And in the Garden of Eden, it was given to Adam and Eve. I'm going to call this the Adonic Covenant. And if you'll turn to me to Genesis 1. This is the first covenant I want to talk about in Genesis chapter 1. Hallelujah. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27. So God created man in his own image, and in the image God created him, male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So we see here that God made a covenant with Adam and Eve. They were equal. Adam and Eve were equal. Amen. He created Adam and Eve equal. And he made a covenant with them. He said, listen, be fruitful, didn't he? He said, be multiplying. Now let's go on. And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of the earth, every tree whose fruit yields seed, and to you it shall be for food. And verse 30. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food. And it was so. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So evening and morning were the sixth day. Hallelujah. Covenant relationship. God created a covenant with Adam and Eve. And what his purpose of a covenant relationship at this period of time with them was a covenant relationship as a father and child. He was bringing a relationship. He created Adam and Eve for children. You know, we have covenant with our family, a blood covenant, don't we? Now, some of our families have inheritances and certain things coming down the line. Unfortunately, some of us have inherited some sickness, disease, and bad things. But it's still a covenant, isn't it? Amen? You see how it can change too, can't it? Now, under this covenant that God ordained with Adam and Eve, one of the things he required was obedience and guidance of a true father. He had conditions, and he set conditions to maintain this covenant. Of course, the one main condition is in Genesis 2, in verse 15. Let's read this together through 17. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. So we see here he had a stipulation with this covenant, didn't he? He said, look at these promises are for you. I'm giving you this covenant. I'm making this covenant with you right now. You will be my children. I'll be a father to you. But don't break this covenant. One of the stipulations is don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat of the fruit of it. Amen. Now this covenant, one of the aspects of this covenant, he said to be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, have dominion over all creation, and access to the tree of life. What a wonderful thing. And of course, they were had a vegetarian diet. They were unleaded. Amen. Hallelujah. Now you got to also understand that at this period of time, their spirit, their soul, and their body were one. When God created them, their spirit, their soul, and their body were one. They were one in the spirit with God. They communed with God. They walked with God in the garden. The Lord set a place for them. And it's like I shared before, when they fell, something happened. When they fell, something big time happened. And even the Lord asked them to till the garden, so they were to upkeep the garden, weren't they? They were to maintain it. So they were to maintain this covenant. This piece of land that God had given them was the beginning place. From this place, they were to expand the garden to the whole world. That was their position. Remember also, Adam was the ruler of the world at that time. Amen? Okay, you know, there's always results of this, and like I shared with you, that there's dispensations. Dispensations is a representation of time sequences. You know, and at this period of time, we can call it like the age of innocence, because they were innocent. They didn't know what good and evil were, did they? They had no idea. They had no idea at all what good or evil was. So they couldn't lie, could they? They couldn't steal. They couldn't cheat. They wouldn't do anything that would have offended the Lord on purpose, would they? Because they didn't know what it was. Amen? Now, we know that in Genesis 3, if we'll go there, now, we know that in Genesis 3, and it talks about the serpent and so forth, being the most cunning beast. And in verse 7, well, let's start at verse 6. So the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree desirable to make one wise. She took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened. And they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. They broke covenant with God, didn't they? And because of the broken covenant with God, they tried to cover themselves. Does everybody get it? So they sewed fig leaves. And the Bible says that their eyes were open because their eyes were closed to the spirit realm. No longer did they communicate with the serpent face to face, did they? No longer did they communicate with the Lord face to face. Does everybody get it? Their eyes were shut to the spirit realm, and they were open to the fallen realm, a whole new realm. Everything changed. Even they changed. Because their flesh used to be, the life of the flesh used to be in the spirit. See, their spirit used to carry their flesh, and I personally believe there was no blood. Because when Eve came from Adam, he said, now the flesh of my flesh and bone of my bone. Blood was never mentioned. In fact, when Jesus returned after he rose from the dead, right? He came in and he said, and they were freaked out thinking, I saw a spirit. He said, a spirit doesn't have flesh and bone. He never mentioned blood. because the life of the flesh was in the spirit. But when they fell, the life of the flesh was in the blood. Now, the Bible tells us that there's different types of flesh, isn't there? So the animals most likely had blood. But Adam and Eve did not. I truly believe they didn't. There was no need to have blood, was there? Because they had glorified bodies. What was sustaining the body? The spirit. Does everybody get it? Okay. Then we can go on. Hallelujah. Now, under this, when they broke covenant with God, they lost the promises, didn't they? He said, you will surely die. Well, separation in the spirit already manifested, didn't it? And that relationship in the spirit caused an effect to their flesh. Now, they tried to cover themselves with fig leaves. Let me share something with you. No man can restore covenant. No man, no matter what you do, can restore covenant at this period of time. Only God can restore covenant. You know, Paul said, you know, I pray that God grant them repentance. Only God grants repentance. Only God can restore covenant. You know, we sometimes take it for granted. Well, yeah, the Lord will just forgive me. No, only God grants repentance. Hallelujah. Okay, let's go a little further here. Now, God forgave them, didn't he? I mean, he forgave them. In fact, in their broken covenant, they had to reap, didn't they? Because of the spiritual law of sowing and reaping. Everybody still reaps what they sow. No, regardless of what, you're still going to reap what you sow. But I'd rather reap it with Christ than without him. Amen. In fact, sometimes God uses what we've sowed. He uses the reaping to train us. Does everybody get it? He's using the reaping that you've sowed in the flesh right now to train us. Oh, really? Yes, he is. So God forgives because of the innocence, but they must reap what they sow. He reestablishes the promise with conditions in the second covenant. And the results are in Genesis 3:14. Now listen, the Lord is getting ready to restore another covenant with them, with Adam and Eve. Okay? Now watch, in Genesis 3:14, he states these conditions now, doesn't he? Watch this. He says to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle, and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. This is the reaping of the broken covenant. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. To the woman he said, and I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. Now understand this. He says, I'm going to multiply your sorrow and your conception. In other words, you're going to have more than one child at a time. Does everybody get it? Why? Because he had another way he was going to subdue the earth. Amen. Come on, let's get in the spirit here. Amen. He said, I'm going to multiply your sorrow and your conception. Remember I shared with everybody before, a long time ago, I said, you know, personally, I don't believe that Eve just had one child or two children. I think she had a litter. Because if they were going to multiply and subdue the earth, they had to have more children. I mean, you know, they had to have, and when their children had children, you also got to understand, too, that they were healthy. There was more oxygen and so forth. And of course, if we go back to 15, we also see that he said the Lord promised a seed would come, didn't he? There would be a seed coming. Now, Let's go on. Then to the and I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. So obviously there wasn't going to be pain prior to this. God had another way of bringing children in. Your desire shall be for your husband. No longer were they equal. And he shall rule over you. No longer were they equal. Does everybody get it? Why? Because the serpent deceived Eve, and Eve deceived her husband. Then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife, and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it, cursed is the ground for your sake. We see the ground was cursed. These are all new things that God is bringing in before he seals the second covenant with them. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. In other words, God was supplying all things, wasn't he, before? He supplied everything to them in the Garden of Eden. Now he says, you're going to have to work for it. Both thorns and thistles, and it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In other words, it wasn't going to be easy now. This is the reaping. This is the punishment, or the reaping, or the punishment, chastisement of breaking covenant. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Now listen, so the Lord is establishing a second criteria for another covenant coming up. But of course he's going to establish with Adam and Eve. So the first covenant was given in the garden. Does everybody get that? Now Adam and Eve covered themselves with fig leaves. Now he's preparing a second covenant, but he's sharing with them what they got to reap. And here's the changes of the second covenant. This is how it's going to be. Now watch this. In verse 20, well, we can go on to verse 20. And Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. In verse 21, also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. Here is where the second covenant begins. How is it sealed? With blood. With blood. Does everybody get it? Why? Because they were once, the life of the flesh was in the spirit. They lost that nature. So now he had to replace with them a life. So he took an animal and removed their fig leaves, killed the animal, and reestablished another covenant, which is a covering, right? That they were covering themselves with the skins. So their shame, which is a part of their guilt. See, they didn't know shame before, did they? See, their fall brought in conscience. Before it was relationship. Now they had a conscience. Now they had guilt. Now God was going to communicate with them instead of face-to-face in the conscience. Does everybody get it? Okay. So we see here that the Lord sealed this covenant with blood. Does everybody get it? So the second covenant is called the Adamic covenant. No. No, the first one was Edomic, E-D-N-E-I-C. E-D-E-N-I-C. Edonic. E-D-E-N-I-C. Like Eden. The next one is Edomic. Yeah, I know they sound the same, but they're not. Thank God you brought an eraser. Hallelujah. So understand that covenants from this point on were sealed with blood. Amen. They're always confirmed with blood, and there was always a sign. Does everybody get it? Okay, so we see that the first covenant that was broken The second covenant was established by a sign of the blood. Amen. Then we had a Noahic covenant. Let's just put Noah with an IC. I mean, it's real simple. Glory to God. Eden with an IC, you know what I mean? Praise God. We're going to go through a bunch of ICs. A Noahic covenant, third covenant, Genesis 6. Glory to God. In Genesis 6, verse 11. The earth was also corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted it their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, "The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth." So we see here that the Lord was a little upset. He said, "That's it. These guys are all fleshed out. I'm going to kill them." In verse 18, he said to Noah, "But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you." Amen? So we see here that God was going to establish a covenant with Noah. Let's go to chapter 7 and verse 17. We see that the Lord destroyed the earth with the flood, right? Now the flood was on the earth 40 days. The waters increased and lifted up the ark, and it rose above the earth. The waters prevailed and greatly increased on the earth, and the ark moved about on the surface of the waters. And the waters prevailed exceedingly on the earth, and all the high hills under the whole heaven were covered. So we see that the earth was flooded. God was destroying everything and killing everything, right? Okay, let's go to chapter 8. I'm just going to buzz through some of this because we all know the story about Noah. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? 8:20. Glory to God. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took of every clean animal and every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. So we see blood was manifested again, wasn't it? The Lord smelled a soothing aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, "I will never again curse the ground for man's sake." So we see that the ground will never be cursed again. "Although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, nor will I again destroy every living thing that as I have done." So we see that the Lord said, "Okay, I'm not going to do this anymore this way." Amen. "While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease." So we see that God has established seasons. So in this new covenant, he's establishing seeds, he's establishing harvest and seasons. No more curse. In 9, verse 1, it says, "So God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth.'" So we see that that covenant that he originated in the garden was still carrying on, didn't he? He reestablished that covenant. Only there was different standards, wasn't there, with Adam and Eve. So he reestablishes that, "Be fruitful and multiply and subdue the earth." Now he's reestablishing that covenant again. So that first covenant was still going on. God is still telling me and you, "Be fruitful and multiply and subdue the earth and take dominion over all things." That's still going on. That will continue to go on until the end of the existence of the earth. Does everybody get that? That covenant will continue. That same covenant in the garden will continue. That same covenant with Adam will continue to the end. Does everybody get it? And this covenant even with Noah will continue. Like I shared with you, these covenants overlap and complement the existing covenant. Let's go a little further. In verse 2, "And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be on every beast of the earth, on every bird of the air, and all that move on the earth, and all the fish of the sea. They are given into your hand. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. I have given you all things, even as a green herb." So now they can eat flesh. Does everybody get it? "But you shall not eat flesh with its life." That is its blood. So he said, listen, when you kill an animal, don't eat the blood. Make sure you drain it. "Surely for your lifeblood I will demand a reckoning. From the hand of every beast I will require it. And from the hand of a man, from the hand of every man's brother I will require the life of a man." Now listen to this. God sets up capital punishment. Watch. "Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed." That's capital punishment, isn't it? "For in the image of God he made man. And as for you, be fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth, and multiply in it." Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, saying, "And as for me, behold, I will establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you." So we see that these are everlasting covenants, aren't they? "And with every living creature that is with you." What covenant is that? That he will not kill them by water again. "The birds, the cattle, and every beast of the earth with you, of all that go out of the ark, every beast of the earth. Thus I establish my covenant with you. Never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood. Never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." And God said, "This is the sign of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you. For perpetual generations, I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be for the sign of the covenant between me and the earth." So God even made a covenant with the earth. So we see that that sign is still existing, isn't it? That covenant is still going on. That will continue to go on until the end, won't it? So there won't be no more rainbow. So we don't need no more rain. So we don't need no more sun. Does everybody understand this now? Okay, now I'll go to Leviticus 17. Leviticus 17. I want to share something with you. Hallelujah. Leviticus 17. Hallelujah. In verse 11, Leviticus 17, verse 11. Let's read this together. "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul." So we see here, remember, the soul was taken, wasn't it? In the garden. The soul was lost in the garden. Does everybody get it? That's why Jesus came to what? Restore the soul. What's the soul? The mind, the will, and the emotions. Those were taken by what? Good and evil. No longer was it pure. No longer was it holy. That holiness was taken. Does everybody get it? So they put on flesh. No longer was they were a glorified body. They were a sinful nature. So now no longer was the life of the flesh in the spirit. The life of the flesh was in the blood. And that's why the Lord killed an animal. A life for a life. Does everybody get that? Okay. That's why things are sealed with blood. So we see that Noah set an altar, didn't he? Offers blood sacrifice because of the promised covenant. God offers a rainbow as promise with conditions again. He won't curse the ground, seasons establish, be fruitful and multiply, take dominion, eat meat, no blood in the animals, a capital punishment, death. And this will continue on to the restoration of the earth by fire. That's that covenant, the third covenant. Is everybody with me? So we see that there's a sign, isn't there? There's almost a sign of every covenant. The first, in fact, when they broke the first covenant, we saw that there was a representation of a blood sign. Blood, 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 blood. Conditions, blood, and promises. Does everybody get it? Conditions, blood, and promises. Hallelujah. Okay, now we go to the fourth covenant. Abrahamic. Abrahamic covenant. Hallelujah. In Genesis 17. Abrahamic covenant. You can pronounce it any way you want. I won't be offended. Now, if you recall in the first broken covenant, remember when the Lord was reestablished in the first covenant, He said, your seed and His seed will have enmity, but the seed of the woman is going to come and bruise the seed of the serpent. Right? Now we see here that Noah comes through the flood and he has three sons. And one of the sons, who is Shem, is carrying the righteous seed in his family line. And that's where Abraham came from. And then we know that then there was Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is a representation of Israel. Okay? Now let's go to Genesis 17 and verse 1. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God, walk before me and be what? Walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you and will what? Multiply you exceedingly. See, these covenants are coming down. The righteous seed is coming down all the way from the beginning, from the garden. These covenants are still coming down. So people think, well, that covenant's over with. No, it's not. We're still under all of these covenants, but the rituals and things have changed. But the promises are still available. God is still bringing those promises through the blood. Okay. Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. So we see this covenant brings a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful. I will make you nation. I will make nations of you. And kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations. Are we the descendants of Abraham? Amen. Aren't we in the descendants of Adam? Amen. Aren't we in the descendants? Yes. But you got to get under blood to get them. You got to get under blood to get the promises. Glory. In verse 7, I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant. So those covenants are not gone. To be God to you and your descendants after you. Also, I will give you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, an everlasting possession. I will be their God. Now, I want you to understand that the land of Canaan is a representation of Palestine. Whoa. So that hasn't manifested yet, is it? But it's coming. That's a part of that covenant. Does everybody understand it? That's why the fight's over right now. Don't you think the devil knows it? He knows that the covenant has got to come from Abraham. That God made with Abraham. That covenant, that Palestine will be ruled by Israel. Does everybody get it? So he knows that's why the big fight is right now, because it's about to happen. Glory to God. And verse 9, and God said to Abraham, and as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male shall among you shall be what? Circumcised. And you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. So we see another sign, isn't it? A cutting. Which draws blood, doesn't it? And that was a sign, wasn't it? We see that there was a sign of the rainbow. Right? We see that there was a sign of the altar of the offerings, right? I mean, the Lord showed, that's why between Cain and Abel, the one showed the Lord received the one that was what? The animal sacrifice, and the other one he didn't receive, because he showed them in the garden what the proper way of offering to God was. One was obedient, one was disobedient, wasn't he? Is everybody with me? Okay. So do you all understand that these promises are still coming down the line? Amen. Hallelujah. In verse 12, he who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised, every male child in your generation, he who is born in your house or bought with money from any foreigner, who is not your descendant. So even if they adopted children by buying them, they had to be circumcised. He who is born in your house and he who is bought with your money must be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh as an everlasting covenant. So now we have a covenant in the flesh too, don't we? That the promises of God will come forth because he made covenant with flesh by the circumcision. And the uncircumcised male who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that person shall be cut off from his people, and he has broken my covenant. Now we know that the circumcision of the heart is now, isn't it? The circumcision of the heart. Amen? So we can still break covenant, can't we? Praise be to God. Let's go a little further. And God said to Abraham in verse 15, as for Sarah your wife, you shall not call her name Sariah. It shall be something like that. But Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of peoples shall come forth from her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 99 years old, bear a child? And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael may live before you. And God said, no, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant with his descendants after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. And he shall begot 12 princes and I'll make him a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac. So we know that from Abraham this covenant is going to continue with Isaac. But Ishmael was going to be fruitful and multiply also. And that's where we get the Islamic. Everybody understand that? Okay, hallelujah. I think that's enough of that. So we see here that this covenant is going to continue. Now, one of the things that he said about, he said, great nation, father nation, prosperity in the natural realm of prosperity in the spirit realm. Are you a descendant of Abraham?
Amen.
Amen. We see that now we have blessed families, don't we? God is blessing families. He says, of all the earth. Of all the earth. And when under the covenant of this, that's all you had to do is be circumcised. And you received all the blessings. Isn't that wild? That's all you didn't need to do, is be circumcised. Because it was a blood. And we know that this is going to continue on, because even during the millennium, the Jews are still going to circumcise their children. So this is going to go on all the way to the end. Is everybody with me? Are you ready for the next covenant? Mosaic. Exodus 1. Actually, let's go to Exodus 24. I'm sorry. Exodus 24. Oh, hallelujah. Exodus 24. This is the fifth covenant. Exodus 24. Now we know that, you know, from chapters Exodus 1 to Exodus 24 talks all about Moses, right? Okay, we know that the Lord used Moses to bring out the Jews and so forth. We don't need to go in great detail. But we do understand that this covenant that God brought with Moses was the covenant of law. It was the covenant of law. He was bringing them law. Is everybody with me? Why? To try and put them in position. God was trying to bring them in divine position. Now, understand this. The covenant of circumcision didn't end. So even in the Mosaic law, in the Mosaic covenant, circumcision was still going on. And if you recall that even when the Lord was sending Moses to go back to get the Jews out of bondage, the Lord was going to kill Moses because he forgot to circumcise one of his sons. And his wife had to. Hallelujah. So we see here in Exodus 24 and somewhere around here. Let's see. Oh, I'm in Leviticus. No wonder why it doesn't look good. Exodus 24. In verse 4. And Moses wrote to all the words of the Lord. And he rose early in the morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. Then he sent young men of the children of Israel who offered burnt offerings and sacrifices and peace offerings of oxen to the Lord. And Moses took half the blood and put it in the basins, and half the blood he sprinkled on the what? Altar. So blood was still being used, wasn't it? Sacrifices on the altar. And then he took the book of the covenant, which is the law of Moses, and read in the hearing of the people. And they said, all that the Lord has said, we will do and be what? Be what?
Obedient.
Oh, be obedient. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, this is the blood of the covenant which the Lord has made with you according to all these words. So we see here that certain things happen. Now understand this. Laws were given. And there was three types of law. There was moral law, there was civil law, and there was criminal law. And those are in Exodus chapter 21 to 24. And I'm not going to read them all. Three laws were given: moral law, through the Mosaic Covenant, civil law, and criminal law. Okay? Let's go to Exodus 25. You know, I need to take that back. I can't read my writing, sorry, sometimes. It was ceremonial law, not criminal law. So we have three laws. Moral law, civil law, because civil law would be, you know. And ceremonial law for the ordinances that God had required. Does everybody get that? So there was moral law, civil law, and ceremonial law, not criminal law. Forgive me. Exodus 25, in verse 1. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel that they bring me an offering from everyone who gives it willingly with his heart, you shall take my offering." Now he's saying willingly, right? "And this is the offering which you shall take from them, gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, fine linen, and goat's hair, ram skins dyed red, badger skins, acacia wood, oil for the light, for the anointing oil, and for the sweet incense, oxen stones, and the stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them." Now God is requiring a what? Sanctuary for him to dwell among them. So you understand something. When the Lord brought this covenant in, he said, "Okay, I'm going to be with you again. Now let's get some laws in order here before I come." Let's get some things straight here. Now, the promises from the first covenant are still coming through. In fact, those promises actually have increased, haven't they? From the time even of Adam and Eve. Now there's blessings, all these other things are happening and so forth. There's actually more promises coming. But and covenants are increasing. And the blessings are increasing. Amen? So he's requiring him. He says, "Now listen, I'm going to dwell with you. So I want you to build a place for me to dwell with you." Does everybody get that? Hallelujah. And he explains to them all of these things he wants to do. To God be the glory. I'm going to check something out here. And he expresses to them, and you can read this whole through. I mean, I'm not going to read this whole chapter, but it gives the understanding of everything he wants done for the tabernacle. And of course, and he's telling them, you know, you're going to be fruitful. This construction is going to the construction of the tabernacle and God's presence here is going to bring a representation of what? Being fruitful and multiplying. All of these covenant things are coming through continuously through the blood. Now he's making ordinances for them to maintain certain things to stay in line. Is everybody with me? Hallelujah. Now, I want to go a little further. Now, you know that he gave him the Ten Commandments and so forth. So we're under the law here, right? The law's still going on. There's still the moral law. This is in this period of time. There's the moral law, the civil law, and the ceremonial law. Okay, now we come to the... What's the next one? Anybody know? Davidic. Come on, the Davidic law, the Davidic covenant. Mm-hmm. Yes, Davidic. Or Davidic, or whatever, however you want to say it. You can say it any way you want. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. 2 Samuel 7. 2 Samuel 7. Hallelujah. In verse 4. Chapter 7, verse 4. But it happened that night that the word of the Lord came to Nathan, saying, "Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, would you build a house for me to dwell in? For I have not dwelt in a house since the time that I brought the children of Israel up from Egypt, and even to this day, but have moved about in the tent and in the tabernacle." So Daddy wanted a nice pad, you know. He wanted to come on down and say, "Listen, build me a place. Wherever I have moved about with all the children of Israel, have I ever spoken a word to anyone from the tribes of Israel whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedar? Now therefore, thus shall you say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the sheepfold, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. And I've been with you wherever you have gone, and have cut off all your enemies from before you, and have made you a great name, like the name of the great men who are on the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and I will plant them, that they may dwell in the place of their own and move no more, nor shall the sons of the wickedness oppress them any more as previously. Since the time I commanded judges to be over my people Israel and have caused you to rest from all your enemies, also the Lord tells you that he will make you a house. When your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you, who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commits iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the blows of the sons of men. But my mercy shall not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I removed from before you. And your house and your kingdom shall be established forever before you. Your throne shall be established forever. According to all these words and according to all this vision, so Nathan spoke to David. Now Nathan was the prophet of David after Samuel went home. Now this is a covenant that God made with David. Now there's important things here. Now listen, the covenant was that there would be a son who would come. It's a representation, he says, an everlasting covenant. Now listen, he said, I'm going to build, the first part is, it will be known as the house of David. The second part is, it will be known as the throne of David. And it will be an everlasting kingdom. So the sign of this event is that there would be a son that will come. That's one of the signs. A son will come. And there will be a house, there will be built a house of David. There will be a throne of David. And there will be an everlasting kingdom of David. Is everybody with me? Go to Isaiah 9. Isaiah 9. Now, are the promises still coming down the covenant line? Yes. Amen. Everything is still being fruitful and multiplied, blessings, all of these things. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 9. Everybody there? Isaiah 9 and verse 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of what?
David.
And over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice, from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So we see here that this covenant he's making with David, the sign is about a son coming in, and we know who that son is. Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Isaiah 11. This is powerful in how all this was prophesied about this continuous covenant, the fulfilling of the covenant. Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 1 through 5. And there shall forth come a rod from the stem of Jesse. Now Jesse is David's father. And a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And all this is the sevenfold of the Holy Spirit. His delight is in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with iniquity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteous shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his what? Waist. So we see here he's talking about Jesus coming, isn't he? Praise be to God. Now go to Isaiah 53. You know, you got to remember again, these covenants do not just disappear. They overlap and complement. Isaiah 53. In verse, let's see here. Verse 3. Is everybody there? He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs, he carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. We are healed. Who are they talking about? Jesus. How was this covenant going to be sealed? Blood. Blood. His blood. An eternal blood. Does everybody get it? The sign was going to be a son. And it was going to be sealed by eternal blood, by the blood of God. Now, we know that the seventh covenant, I'm just going to make it real simple, Jesus covenant. The Jesus covenant. Hallelujah. The Jesus covenant. Glory to God. Malachi 3. Hallelujah. Malachi 3. Verse 1. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the what?
Covenant.
In whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. And we know that John the Baptist was the witness of the light before Jesus, right? But Jesus was the true messenger of the covenant. Does everybody understand that? Hallelujah. Let's go to, let's see here. Let's go to Hebrews. Hebrews 9. Hebrews chapter 9. Glory, hallelujah. In verse 23. Therefore, it was necessary that the copies of the things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. Now, how were they going to be purified in the heavenlies? Does anybody know? Jesus was going to bring his own blood there. Glory to God. For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us, not that he should offer himself often as a high priest enters the most holy place, every year with the blood of another. He then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world, but now once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. So Christ offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. Glory to God. Let's go to chapter 10. Verse 14. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us, for after he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts and in their minds, and I will write them. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now where is the remission of these? There is no longer an offering for sin. So we see that all of this has come to pass with us, but also it's coming to pass. You got to understand, this has got to still happen to the Jews. And it's not happened yet, has it? So it's still got to happen. So we see that this covenant of what Jesus is a representation of a covenant that we know is going into an everlasting covenant. Now, Jesus said that this is his everlasting covenant, isn't it? But we call this is a representation of the covenant of Jesus that he made because it's actually the covenant of God, isn't it? Now, I want to show you something in Matthew 26. Of course, we know that this is a blood covenant again, isn't it? Matthew 26. In verse 26. Hallelujah. And the Lord was with them, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, and said, take, eat, this is my body. Then he took up the cup, and gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the what? New covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. So he calls this, Jesus' covenant is a representation of a new covenant, isn't it? And this new covenant is falling into an everlasting covenant. Now, I know this may sound a little strange, but the Lord came here to bring a new covenant, didn't he? But not to end the other covenants, but to fulfill the covenants. Is everybody with me? Okay. Now, the Bible says that Jesus was a life-giving spirit, isn't he? So turn to 2 Corinthians 3. Hang on, we're almost done. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. In verse 4, for we have such trust through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being themselves from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of what? The new covenant, the one that Jesus was talking about. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So we see that this new covenant is a covenant of the Spirit. This is what Jesus was talking about. It was the covenant of the Spirit. He says, he who drinks my blood and eats my flesh will have everlasting life. Now, in Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 4. So this is not the covenant of the letter. It's the new covenant of the Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30. Remember I shared with you there are certain signs or things that were sealed. Everything was sealed by blood, wasn't it? Everything was sealed by blood. In every new covenant, there was a sealing of blood. In verse 30, now we know that Jesus sealed this covenant, this new covenant with his blood. But remember, he said it's the covenant of the Spirit, isn't it? So look at this. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Does everybody get that? So you and I are sealed, because why? The Holy Spirit is the covenant keeper. Without the Holy Spirit, you will not be able to keep this covenant. Hallelujah. And the eighth covenant I want to share with you is known as the everlasting covenant. And that's everything being fulfilled. Everything being fulfilled. Okay? Go to Hebrews 13. No. Yeah, we can go there. Hebrews 13. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 13. Is everybody there? In verse 20. Now may the God of peace who brought up our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, that great shepherd of sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. One more scripture, 2 Corinthians 4. We know that the Bible tells us that we are blessed in every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, right? All of these covenants, all of these blessings, and all of these promises are coming down the line. They're still for me and you now. Does everybody get it? They're still for me and you right now. So now this eighth covenant that we're talking about is fulfilling of what Jesus has done. It's a fulfilling of what Jesus has done. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Is everybody there? In verse 16. Let's read this together. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And where there's a far better weight of glory, that everlasting glory. Even in the in Thessalonians, when the Bible tells us about the rapture, in chapter 4 and verse 13 and so forth, it tells us that, and we when we were be taken up, and we so shall ever be with the Lord. So there's this a final, everlasting covenant that's going to come. And some will be either eternally damnation or eternally covenanted. Remember, all of these blessings and what Jesus has done for me and you, he did not come to remove them. He came to fulfill them. Does everybody get this? Powerful. So we have about eight. Now, eight means what? New beginnings. New beginnings. See, this is all going to be fulfilled after the burning of the earth, when the new earth and the new heavens come and the city of Jerusalem come down on the earth. That's the fulfilling of the everlasting covenant. We won't need to tell no neighbors about God. You won't have to tell nobody. You won't have to minister to nobody. You won't have to plant no seeds. It's done. They either know him or they don't. And we'll enter in that everlasting covenant. Amen? So let's not lose sight of what God has done for us from the beginning and what he's still doing for us right now. Don't look at what you don't have. Be thankful of what you have. Maintain a covenant-keeping child and you'll find a fulfillment of the promises of the covenant and prosperity and health and everything come into place. But you just got to be dead. You got to be dead. Remember, this covenant also is the resurrection of the Lord, isn't it? It's a resurrection power. Amen? Well, we want the new life resurrected, not the old life. He who sows to the flesh reaps corruption. He who sows to the Spirit reaps everlasting life. So I want to encourage you, maintain covenant keeping. The Bible also tells us those who break covenant will not enter the kingdom of God. Those who practice such things in Galatians 5. And I've shared with you before, whoever you're serving when you die is where you go. You don't want to be a broken covenant when the Lord shows or when you die. Amen? Lord, we thank you for your covenant promises. And Lord, we ask that you'll maintain us in that divine position with a divine covenant. We thank you for what Jesus has paid the price for us. We thank you for sending the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the power of the new covenant of the ministry of the Spirit, that those things that we speak, we can call those things that are not as though they are. Lord, we thank you for the power that's within us. For he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. Lord, let us not just forsake, but let us recount the mercy that you have, the grace that you have, and the love that you have for us in establishing these covenants, that we could be a partaker of all of them at this time, in this age, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. Amen.